Here because of legislation that was passed out of the House yesterday, Senate Bill 24. And I first of all want to thank Representative Deal for his leadership and Representative Franklin for her great effort on the floor in the House yesterday. I know it was difficult, but she did a very good job. Also, I'd like to thank at this time, and Senator Dempsey had another commitment, but without his leadership and his confidence in this particular legislation, the pathway would have been very, very difficult to obtain. Right now, I would like to introduce from the Heartland Institute, Ms. Logan Pike.
Good morning, my name is Logan Pike. I'm the Government Relations Manager for the Heartland Institute. I'm also a co-author on our new 2015 Welfare Reform Report Card. And you can see a printout over here. We published a report card in 2008 and put together five policies and then five performance outcomes for each state's welfare system. And Missouri scored the lowest on that report card, and they again scored the lowest on this report card. So there are a few policies that we look at that we really think stress the importance of work, its work requirements, a cash diversion program, limiting time limits, integrating services, and having strict sanctions. So we congratulate Senator Sater on his bill and Representative Franklin, and thank you.
Any questions for
him? How accurate is your report? How accurate are the assumptions in your report, or can you be accused of putting together a report that's slanted towards an anti-welfare position?
So all of the data that we collected, we went straight through the Department of Health and Human Services. So it's all pretty extensive, straightforward data.
For the Speaker Deal or Senator Sater, what is it about this report? Because there's been, it seems like every day we get a new report on we're the fifth best state for job creation or the third worst state for this. What is it about this report that sparked the interest of you guys to want to come up here and stand with?
Well, it's not just this report. I've been working on this issue for probably 4 or 5 years and doing research on it. And I've used the Heartland Institute's research. I've used other entities' research also on it. But we do have a definite problem in the state of Missouri in which we only have a 14% to 16% work activity rate. That needs to change. We are hurting our families, and we want a better work participation rate for the families and for the head of the household.
And that data is from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services that states that only 14% of Missouri welfare recipients are engaged in work-related activities, even though we know that less than 3% of Americans that are in full-time work live in poverty. So,
when you say 14-16%, is that of all TANF recipients or just the able-bodied adults? Does that include disabled children?
So that's all work-eligible.
Work-eligible, yeah.
So did you do any factoring for people who were looking for jobs and couldn't get them, as opposed to people who just were not looking? And I ask the question because I know people who have been looking for jobs for a couple of years and have been told they're overqualified or they won't stay long enough, and so they never get hired.
Well, if you look into the bill, it's not just having a job to qualify for TANF. It's a work activity, and there's several definitions of work activity. It could be job training. It could be taking care of a disabled child. It could be various things like this. And so it's not just having to work, but it's a work activity, which is defined in the bill in several aspects.
It's a very broad definition.
Very broad.
So it's also vocational training, getting a GED. And then in our report card, you can see, so we have the five policies and five performance outcomes too. So we take into consideration things like unemployment rate.
Your chart has a line at the top that points out that this is just since Governor Nixon took office, which is the same time that the national recession hit. So is that a fair comparison?
So this, we just put up there that Governor J. Nixon took office in 2009 as kind of a reference point. All of this data is since the 1996 welfare reform law.
So the data is 20 years old, or covers 20 years?
Mm-hmm. It's percentage change since the 1996.
And what is the 38 out of like the 10 at recipient decline? What is the 32? Is that ranked?
These are the ranks right here. So these are the ranks, rank 32.
And what does 38 out of 100 mean?
That's the percentage of rate decline since the 1996 welfare
percentage laws in place. And what policies that are necessary to back up these these changes that you all are talking about? If you're going to tell people that they can only have 30 months, as the House bill says, or 48 months, as the Senate version says, what are the policies that are necessary to make sure that the people who are now going to lose their benefits aren't just out there left to fend for themselves?
Well, one of the major things was a face-to-face orientation before a TANF-eligible person goes on to the rolls. You know, we want to make sure that they know exactly what there is required of them. And then we also go, if after 6 weeks, they are not performing the required work activities, we'll have another face-to-face meeting with them to describe what the sanction is going to be. We want these people to succeed.
So is there additional funding for that? I mean, is that not a...
No, this is a federal block grant. It's $200 and some million dollars a year. And also the state of Missouri kicks in another $120 million or so. So that money stays in this program. In other words, the savings that we will incur by getting more people working can be used for other programs, such as a single mother with a child and having child care. We can use more money for things like that.
Are there other states that have already done this, or is this a theoretical, this will happen?
No, there's other states that have cut back on lifetime benefits. There's some states that have put a family cap. No, we did not go that far and do that.
There are about 12 states that we've looked at that have limited their lifetime limits, less than 60, which is kind of a federal limit under the 1996 welfare law.
Missouri has gone to online, cut back a lot on these local social service offices. We've gone to contractors doing some screening for eligibility. How do you get this? Where is the money and the budget lines that back up this idea of face-to-face meetings?
Well, we'll use the TANF money that we get from the federal government.
Has this been put into next year's budget and directed to the social services?
It's not block grants.
Right, but...
They're block grant to the department with certain requirements of what they are to do and what not to do. I think part of what you have to keep in mind, and part of the general overall view on this, is sometimes with government acronyms, you forget what something stands for. So TANF, what's the first letter stand for in TANF? Temporary, okay? This program was started and initiated to be a temporary assistance for needy families, not permanent assistance for needy families. So what happens time and time again with government programs and government bureaucracy is they take life on their own, they grow, you never reset it, and you never take a look and how you're doing things and how things could be done better. The answer is, we can't do that. We've been doing that for 20 years. We can't take a look at this again. So look at, there's constant pressure by groups inside and outside the building to increase social welfare spending and to increase programs within our social services budget. No one ever wants to go in and try to reset the clock on things that we're doing can be done better. So I applaud Senator Sater, I applaud Representative Allen, Hafner, Franklin over in the House for taking a look at this and realizing if we want to look at other things, like maybe providing daycare assistance for working moms who really want to do things, then we have to get up and we have to look at stuff that we've done 20, 30 years ago and recognize this hasn't turned into temporary assistance for needy families. It's turned into permanent assistance for needy families. And we need to roll that back. We need to look at what we're doing. We need to re-qualify. We need to make sure and hold the department accountable for the block grant money that we give them to make sure that those on the program are on the program for the reason the program was established. That's for temporary assistance and
well, yeah, but what I was asking was, in the budget for next year to implement this bill that you all have passed, the Department of Social Services, you're saying face-to-face meetings.
Correct.
Where are the directives and the FTEs?
You know how block grants work. Mm-hmm. Block grants are money which is blocked to the department to develop programming. They have to budget it. Mm-hmm. They have to work within the money that's provided to them.
Have you authorized enough employees to do all face to face?
Absolutely. Now, of course, you're going to have the bureaucracy turn around and say, oh my gosh, I need 50 more employees to do this, this, or this. God, I bet you I can go walk through the departments and find empty offices. Right? There's enough money to do this and to do it right. Absolutely.
Where do you think it's going to? The House version has 30 months. The Senate struck the compromise at 48. Are you, Senator Sater, Speaker Deal, leaning one way or the other? Is it split the difference?
Look, as every bill that comes through the House and the Senate at this point, there's a House position. There's a Senate position. We're going to go to conference on this bill. We're going to figure it out.
And the current limit is 60 months?
The current limit is 60 months.
This is for Representative Franklin, just kind of on the details of the program. You said this wouldn't affect children, but if a head of household reaches the lifetime limit for TANF, people in the household can no longer receive benefits either, including children. So this would impact children living with their parents. They would no longer get TANF through their parents.
Yeah, so that's a very profound message that the structure of this bill sends to the head of the household, that what their actions affect their family.
So earlier on the House floor, you said it wouldn't affect children. So you're
the TANF benefits, the family benefits, go to the head of the household.
And then on the
but look, at the point is that under 60 months, same thing applies.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not structurally changing how the program works or doesn't work. It's how long it's temporary. It's temporary. I don't think anyone argues. I have a temporary hold on the office that I have. It's not a permanently elected state representative. That's every 2 years. Senators every 4 years. The President of the United States is 4 years. It's not a permanent title.
So any other, so how do you strike that sweet spot between, if it's a 60 months now, where do you see as the sweet spot, and how long should be temporary?
We're going to continue to discuss it.
We'll work through it, yeah.
Just one more following up on that other one. In terms of the orientation program, is that going to apply to people who are already enrolled, or is it only for new enrollees?
If a person is not meeting their work activity requirements, then they
were... But the orientation program, we're talking about the personal responsibility plan, I don't know, maybe that's only the House version.
We can work on that. Right now, it's just for new applicants. Okay. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.